Shemaine Farmer. Good morning and welcome. Thank you very much for coming in. We've read your original submission. Thanks for putting that in. I see you've tabled some notes. You'd like to just read those out to us today?
Sure.
Do you want to introduce your team
first?
Yes,
sure. This is Victoria. This is my husband Morgan, and this is Morgan's father, my father-in-law, Sid.
Yep. Good morning and welcome to all of you.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today about the Water and Land Plan. Shemaine Farming Partnership is made up of myself, my husband Morgan, along with Morgan's parents, Sydney Lane. We farm in northern Southland near Mandeville. Sydney Lane have been farming there for about 40 years, and we all want to ensure our family can farm here for at least another 40 years. Our partnership leases 470 hectares of land from a family trust, 55 hectares of which is classed as being Old Matera Physiographic Zone. We also lease an additional 250 hectares which are neighbouring or less than 5 km from our main farm. We are predominantly an arable cropping farm operation and have a crop rotation in place of wheat, barley, oats and peas. We have a small number of sheep and cattle and take cows on for winter grazing. We are also baling and racking contractors. There are several issues that are important to and impact our business and future viability. These are the classification of the Old Matera Physiographic Zone, winter grazing, farm management plans and the cultivation of sloping ground. We feel this plan is extremely restrictive for any farmers who farm land that is zoned Old Matera. In reality, all zones have features that will have some undesirable environmental impacts when they are farmed. If the Old Matera zone remains in the plan, we will have much more limited options to alter our business without incurring cost to obtain consents. It concerns us that in tough times, as a lot of us have recently experienced, we will be limited in how we can manage our cash flow if we are restricted by this plan, as to what we are permitted, restricted, controlled or prohibited to do based on what zone our land is in. We aim to have a business model that can adapt to market changes, so if one aspect of our industry is at a low, we can pick up the shortfall from another. For instance, we have taken on more cows for winter grazing this year than in previous years due to the recent dairy price fall, as this had a significant impact on our business and we needed the income opportunities that winter grazing can provide. We need to have flexibility in our farming operation to change tact when necessary so we can continue to pay staff, feed our families and keep our farming business going for future generations. If winter grazing is only permitted to a certain maximum area based on land type zoning, we will not have this flexibility. Instead, we will have to incur a cost to attempt to obtain a resource consent, which are to be strongly discouraged according to Policy 9. An acceptable solution would be to allow a certain number of hectares per landholding or a percentage per landholding regardless of land type zone. This would also reduce the likely number of consent applications the council would receive, therefore also saving time and money for both parties. Anywhere between the size of 30 to 50 hectares would likely be fair, as that area has the potential to carry a decent number of stock. Any area larger than this would increase the likelihood of undesirable environmental effects due to increased stock numbers. 30 to 50 hectares would work on our property and allows for flexibility without being too restrictive. Morgan and I are in the early stage of our farming careers, and in the future I imagine we would look for opportunities to expand our business with further leases and or land purchases. Rule 23C1, which relies on 3-year averages for granting consent for intensive winter grazing, would likely impede and hinder our ability to do this if the previous landowner, lessee or lessor, had a different farming system to us. This average-based consent criteria should be removed, in our opinion. In our own farming operation, the last years of winter grazing has varied a lot due to the market. Before the physiographic zones are accepted into the plan, the properties which are classed as Old Matera need to be inspected and correctly assessed. It would seem prudent to leave the physiographic zone maps out of the plan for now until further investigation and testing can be undertaken on those areas that are disputed. Even the Section 42 report at 6.46 on page 132 mentions that some properties may have different characteristics to those specified in the physiographic zone maps. We agree with this as we don't believe our old Matera zoned land is free draining at all. It becomes very waterlogged and is in fact full of tiles and mole drains to try and remove the excess water. We already know that intensive winter grazing is not suitable for this land, and if we had stock on there for winter grazing, we would degrade our soil structure and quality and reduce the ability to get good crops of grass or cereals to grow on them for several years after. In our opinion, it would be a better idea and much simpler solution if the physiographic zones were used to educate people and investigate where the actual areas of concern are. We propose that the high-risk zones that have been identified are managed more closely by way of farm management plans and potentially by council staff visiting the property to visually gauge how the zone is being managed and what the farmers' management strategies will be to mitigate, reduce or avoid degradation to water quality. This would go a long way to educating those farmers who are yet to realise the benefits of proper environmental management of their land. It would likely be money better spent on this than having numerous resource consent applications to process and undertake monitoring and enforcement of the plan and consents. If the old Matera zone and the other physiographic zone maps are not removed from the plan, then we seek a condition that when each and every resource consent application is being assessed, that site-specific information is taken into account. Such site-specific information should be gathered by a professional who physically visits the location and farmers involved. This should ensure that each consent application is judged on its merits rather than starting from the position that a farmer cannot change their land use based on the zoning of their land. It is our submission that farm management plans as proposed in Rule 20 and Appendix N should be implemented. It would be useful if the Council could provide a template or work example of a farm management plan in order to keep it simple for us all and reduce financial burdens for having these plans prepared and reviewed. On our farm, we are already using many best practice management tools on a regular basis as we make decisions around crop rotations, what fertiliser applications are required and when it is suitable for applying that fertiliser, soil testing and utilising advisers and agronomists with specialised knowledge to ensure we are doing the best we can to minimise adverse effects on our land and water. In regard to the cultivation of sloping ground, our main concern are those paddocks which have slopes of varying degrees. It is going to be quite impractical in a lot of our paddocks to ensure only those slopes under 20 degrees are cultivated, as there are parts here and there which are steeper than others but make sense to cultivate with the rest of the paddock. The plan should reflect this by allowing a percentage, say 10% of the paddock, to be over 20 degrees, yet still all be cultivated. I note the Section 42 report has recommended a similar proportion-based allowance. Lastly, most farmers, including us, are in the business of farming because we care about the land and what we can grow and produce on it. We all want it to perform at its best. In order for it to perform at its best, we need to manage our resources sustainably. For the most part, we recognise this plan is seeking to preserve Southland's resources for the future. However, some parts, such as the physiographic zone classification of Old Matera, is a step too far, in our opinion, at present. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else from your team wish to speak?
No.
No? No, that's absolutely fine. Thank you very much for that. That's a very clear presentation. Thank you. We'll see if we have any questions for you, Mark.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I agree. It is very clear, and there's some very practical suggestions in there as well, along with your original submission. So, thank you very much.
No, I concur. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you again for the comments made about your presentation. I'm just looking at your original submission. Mm-hmm. The tenor of that, you've got a flavour, you're quite opposed to doing the consenting process because you claim that you can mitigate the problems. Why are you so opposed to a consenting process? Could you just sum up, what is your concern that makes you make those comments?
I just think in some cases it will be an unnecessary cost to both parties. Like if you're farming on your property and you're doing the best you can and like there's no major impacts to the water quality, then it's basically just a donation to somebody, really, you know, like, that's my thoughts on it. Like, in some cases, yes, I think consents are necessary, but for when people are just carrying out their everyday things like we are, then I don't think a consent is necessary. It's just
So if you could get a consent for 10 years to do what you're doing, would you not see that as some security in your farming practice?
Yeah, if they were for long term, but there hasn't sort of been much put out there about the time frames for consents and what, we've never had to deal with the resource consent in our lives,
thank you.
Basically.
Thank you for that.
Crop rotation for us is only 1 year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a different farm uses the next year. So a 10-year consent probably be outruled because of the matter of the changes we do every year.
Oh, I would also agree with the rest of the panel that you made your points very clear, but I was just looking with a slightly different angle of those 4 areas that you commented on. How do you see them from the environmental point of view? You've talked a lot about the management of and the practical side of the farming of that. Do you believe, or are you looking at, or is there some way that that can actually be seen as being in the same direction what the plan is actually heading through, or taking statements of why it's there and what we're trying to do?
Are you referring to like doing water testing?
Well, that could be part of it, but it's partly, are we doing the good farm management practices, or are we doing things in a way that actually means, as you've commented on, I think the next generation has the same privileges as we do, and hopefully it's actually better for them. Have you given some thought about how those practices that you've indicated actually are in line with the intent of the plan, and knowing we're going into limit setting at some stage, and the government's already given more direction in a very short period of time, it's an election year, etc.
Do you have any answers to that?
I feel you have got some bloody good points, like your fencing waterways and that, just to give that clear land and that. But I'm more worried about a slope on a hill, which is only a wee bit of an area, not being cultivated. I've got kids running around in wee motorbikes and that, they go over that hill, not being cultivated, or have a bench or something on it. They're falling off, way to hospital. Like, simply cultivate it, and it's a nice smooth paddock.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
In your presentation, you support the concept of farm environment plans. Have you done a beef and lamb environment plan for your farm, or an environment farm activity focus plan?
But no.
I take it you'd be willing to do that, though?
Yes, definitely.
And no further questions, but thanks very much for coming in. It's been very helpful.
Okay, sorry.
Did you want to add something?
I do nutrient budgets for all my grain.
Okay.
I know exactly what the crop's going to be taking out, so that is what I put on each year at the times that they need it. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you're already into that mode anyway?
Mm.
Yep. Right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Coast Haven Farms Limited.